Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed a pleasure to speak to you this afternoon on a subject is rather interesting. As you'd see, the title is From Outgroup to Monophily, Anecdotes of a Non-Traditional Entomologist. I began my career a little more differently than a lot of people, and you'll find out how different it was. But first of all, I want to thank all of you for the honor that you have bestowed upon me. I am truly humbled by it, and I am truly gratified by your thoughts and wishes. Now, if I can make this thing work, we're in good shape. As I said, I began my career a little different than all of you. I left academia after I got my master's degree and went to work for a gentleman by the name of Arthur C. Allen. Now, that may not mean very much to you, but Arthur Allen owned the Chicago White Sox and happened to be in Chicago. He had a private collection. He was looking for a curatorial staff, okay? My husband applied for the job, and Allen, like so many people in that position, he wanted somebody immediately. Well, it didn't happen because Lee had 5 graduate students. So he told him that he couldn't accept the job. Allen looked for an additional person. He actually put an ad in Science Magazine and had received over 300 applications. Christmas time, we came back from a visit at home, and there was a call from Arthur Allen. He opened the job up again, wanted Lee, and we went to work for Arthur Allen that August. On the left, you will see, how do you make the pointer work, dear heart? All right, that is the Allen Museum of Entomology, which is where we were based for a long time, a 5,500 square foot building. We finally moved to Gainesville out of that building in 2004. And the other thing that you will see down here, maybe, below that you will see a compactor unit. That's an archival thing. That was the first compactor unit for entomological storage in the United States. Thank you. And actually, it is in the McGuire Center now. So it was an interesting thing. It was the first thing that was put into the building. And Arthur Allen was a very visionary man. And by the way, the job was supposed to last 7 years. That's all it was supposed to last. And I'm still with the collection even after this time. Okay, this was some of the things that we accomplished in the first 5 years that we were there. We established a collection as a biological collection resource. Allen had 100,000 specimens. We more than doubled the collection. By the time we got around to 1973, we had more than 250,000 processed specimens. We had also, he had bought, built that separate facility in Sarasota. We started out in one room of an office building in Chicago, not too far from Wacker Drive, which is where Allen lived, or worked at the time, and then he would come over and work with us with bugs in the afternoon. That was his relaxation. But we finally moved out of there after we filled up one other office building. He decided we were moving too fast. So we moved to Sarasota, we're in the bank building, and then he built that separate facility. We also established the Bulletin of the Allen Museum. This is the first issue. We also got an ISSN number not too long after that. We now have published more than 157 numbers of it, and it continues today as part of the agreement with the McGuire Center. Service, Lepidoptera Society and ESA. You can read all of the stuff on the board of what I've done with ESA over the years, including serving on the governing board. But Lee and I both served as secretaries. He was president in 1985, and I was the first woman president in 1990. We established the Carl Jordan Medal in recognition of longer pieces of revisionary studies for Lepidoptera. And that has continued to this date. And we hosted the meetings in June of 1973. By the way, the last year, in 1973, I processed more than 25,000 specimens myself. We also arranged for the meetings. And we had one of the largest contingency there. It was one of the first time that we had broken 100 people attending a LEPSOC meeting. Now, these are the pictures that give lepidopterists and entomologists bad names. You know, look at this in behind there. This is Eugene Lamolt. One of the first things that Lee did was to go over to Paris and go to the La Mode auction. And Alan was very much into African material, and as a result, he came back with probably 80 of these very thin boxes of unprepared material, unbelievable amount of stuff. And, you know, this just was an unbelievable amount of material. But Eugene was rather interesting. His father was the head of the prison in Moroni, French Guiana, and we weren't really sure sometimes if he was on the outside looking in or the inside looking out. But before the outbreak of World War II, this guy had sold more than 20 million specimens. Now think about this. That was a lot of money then for some of the stuff that he was doing. But you know, he's got this halo with the net in the background. And Rupe Wenzel from the Phil Museum gave this particular thing to us some years ago. And you know, he was known as the St. Peter of Lepidoptera. Lee went to the auction. He said, you know, on either side of the auction thing, there was the first Mrs. LaMolt and the second Mrs. LaMolt, and they were busy adding up how much money they were going to make. So it was an interesting thing. Okay, any of you know me? When I chided Lee, I used to call him Miller. And this is us in the first compactor unit. And that was many years ago, about 1974. One of the odd apomorphies here is he's got the omnipresent pipe in his hand. But I also used to chide him about, you know, that's such a story, Miller. Why are you doing this? But this is later years in life. And Lee passed away, unfortunately, in April of this year. But his memory lingers on in the collection and everything that we do. But in this particular case, you will notice the synapomorphies. We both have grown older and we have glasses on. Okay? So it was an interesting thing. Okay. Alan, about 1980, got a little bit concerned about the future of the museum collection and what was going to happen to it. And he began to look around for a place to donate it and decided to donate it to the University of Florida to be administered by the Florida Museum of Natural History. They were going to move us up there in 4 or 5 years. Didn't happen. Didn't happen at all. They had all kinds, over the years, there were all kinds of things that happened and discussed. Then there was a major gift donated by William and Nadine McGuire of $4.5 million, which was matched by the Cortales Fund from the state of Florida. And that made it possible to build this 39,000 square foot building, which is where we are now, along with an 8,000 square foot display area. There are collection rooms on three floors with 12,000 square feet of the collection space. And one of the things that we do is we have a public interface. Since we're in the public portion of the museum for exhibits, one of the things we wanted to do is to alert the public as to what's going on and why we have collections and why it's necessary to have long series of collections of species. And also what we do here is biodiversity as well as conservation projects. And you can see here, this is the Miami Blue Project that we're in the process of working on. And actually, one of the graduate students is Emily Saarinen. So right now we have more than 7 million specimens on site. We moved 1.2 million from Sarasota in 2004. So things are growing and people are looking to donate material to the McGuire Center. Okay, well, this is supposed to be lighthearted, but you know, I've got to give some of the stats. My teaching career has been a little bit different too, since I wasn't on the main campus. Lee and I taught entomology, a graduate course actually, at the Honors College, New College of Florida. And some of the students that we have there are now at the University of Florida. Emily Saarinen was one of those. And then also I have taught and continue to teach at the University of Florida. My service for graduate students, as Mark mentioned, I'm always there for them, regardless if they're my student or whether I'm on their committee. And one of the things that I received recently was a University of Florida Research Foundation Professorship Award. That was given to 25 faculty within the University of Florida this year. and I'm proud of that particular accolade as well. You can see here I've mentored students and given assistance to faculty, and Lee and I believed in this. This is, you are our future, and I will spend the time with you if you need the assistance. But it's not only in this country, it's throughout the world, and we provided material or provided insights, sent digital photographs, you name it, we've done it. And here's some of the research that I've done in terms of working in the West Indies and South Florida, particularly in the Lesser Antilles. Started out there working in 1981, have visited the islands every year since then, and particularly working in the Bahamas, and also I'm going to be working, I've worked in the ABC Islands as well. And that culminated in this particular book, and which was published in 1994 and unfortunately is out of print. But I've worked on insular faunas and in the East Indies as well as the West Indies, and then in addition to working in Central and South America. And one of my favorite groups happens to be the butterfly moths, which are Castaneidae, and currently working on those as well. All right, some of the miscellanea. ECN, ESA, Lepidopter Society primarily. I've organized 39 meetings and 5 major symposia. Was local arrangements co-chair in 2003 before I hit the governing board. You guys have just loaded me up, didn't you? Huh? Really? You think so? Oh, that's when you were president, Jay? Okay, sorry, guy. I hold the record as the Lepidopter seeing the sun come up over I-75 between Sarasota and Gainesville. The reason being is because I commuted back and forth to school to do my degree at the University of Florida in the Department of Zoology. Worked up there 3 days, worked down in Sarasota for 4, and I did that for 2.5 years straight. Now, one of the other little ditties that you all probably don't know about me is that I am a judge with the American Orchid Society and have been for more than 30 years. They named me an emeritus judge about a month ago. Boy, that makes me feel kind of old, guys. All right, there's a dual reason for doing this. American Orchid Society, and when you evaluate student presentations like we did this morning, if you evaluate flowers, it's a subjective thing. You're given some criteria, but it's still subjective. In the case of the American Orchid Society, they had never had an evaluation process based on knowledge of species. Lee and I set up a judging evaluation program over a 3-year period. So when they finished, as they grumbled about it, they got a master's degree in knowledge of Orchidaceae. The other reason for being involved with orchids is you see that they also serve as host plants for the Castaneidae, among other monocotyledonous plants. Okay, now let's have a little bit more fun and look at more about phylogenetics. This is Phil Ackery, this is Dick Fainwright, Steve Steinhauser, and my late husband Lee. Now, I want you to look at all the synapomorphies that we have in common here, you know, and then look at all the glasses that you see. Now, Lee was the outgroup. Okay, this is when they received the Jordan Medal at the university there. This was in the parking lot before we departed that day. And, you know, notice the 2 pom-poms on the ears. It's really, lepidopters really do know how to have fun, coleopterists. I have to tell you that. So we had a really good time there. But it was an interesting group. And, of course, you know, there's also the sunglasses hanging around there. So lots of shared characteristics. This is something that we might try to do in terms of categories for lepidopterists and entomologists. Now, this is a rather special place for me. This is Mark Simon, who is a friend of ours, who's done an awful lot of field work, particularly in the Bahamas, Lee and me. And this is west of Bayamo in the Sierra Maestra in eastern Cuba. There's an awful lot of endemic species there, and we had worked this area. This was the 4th time that we had been there. And you'll see this little number here in terms of a vehicle. This particular day dawned sunny, but the day that we were up there previously, it came sunny and then closed over. And that little area right there, we saw a pair of ivory-billed woodpeckers 2 weeks after it had been declared extinct. Now, You just never know what you're going to see in the field, and it was just such a day that we did this. Now, the only reason that actually happened was because our driver, Luis Roberto Hernandez, had run this vehicle off the road, had to go down over the hill to go get somebody to come up and help us lift the car up, because it was literally off the road. So it was a real interesting experience and one I'll never forget. And we went back to Havana and talked to Orlando Garrido about it, and he said, "No, that's impossible. It's extinct. Don't you know that?" Okay, future goals. I've got two major volumes on the Castagnini in progress, a couple of other monographs in progress. More meetings to organize, but I will never be another local arrangements chairman for an EDSA meeting. Once is enough, guy. I did that as a favor to Jay, and I do it again, but no, I don't think so. I've got field work scheduled in the Caribbean, Mexico, and the East Indies, and I plan to have a lot more entomological fun. Now, I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you within the section for what you do. I also want to thank all of you who have had leadership roles over the years for stepping up to the plate, particularly in 2000 when we ran into financial problems. This was not an easy situation. Everybody pulled together. If we hadn't done that, you wouldn't be sitting here today, I assure you. It was a very difficult time, and I'm proud of the service that I gave on the governing board to help make this society better. And I ask you a challenge to all of you. If you want it to be better, you need to let Mark know and your leadership know what you want, because anything is possible now. Thank you very much.